This is exactly right.
Forgive me for interrupting. I'm Bridger Weiniger, host of I Said No Gifts on Exactly Right. Each week, I invite my favorite people in comedy over to chat, and they always bring a gift. We're coming up on our 200th episode, and every episode is a gem. I have welcomed all kinds of great guests, including Cola Scola, Bowen Yang, Robbie Hoffman. It goes on and on and on. And you don't want to miss the 200th episode with the great Maria Bamford. What does she bring me? Find out April 25th. New episodes every Thursday. Follow I Said No Gifts wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Babs Gray, and is it just me, or is every cool coffee shop just trying to look like a See's candy box?
You know, you're not wrong.
Conspiracy?
Get out the tinfoil chocolate wrapper.
The tinfoil chocolate.
I'm Brandi Posey, and I could have been a contender. I could have won Ben Stein's money.
Oh, my God.
I'm Holy Tess Barker, shit. And I just downloaded Tetris. So that's where I'm at mentally.
And this is Lady to Lady.
Can you keep a secret?
Neither can we.
We got Barbara, Brandy, and of course Big Tess. We got a show for everyone that's the fucking best. Come on, baby, it's time to hang out with your favorite ladies. Lady to Lady, Lady to Lady.
Dude, you guys, I just got so excited. I couldn't even wait about, I have some things to say about See's candy.
Oh, okay. Yeah. All right. Get into it.
I'm ready.
I have a test hack. Okay. And it's one that I remember from when I was a kid, but then I forgot again. So you know how there's a See's at the Americana?
Mm-hmm.
Sean and I went to a dinner and a movie there and we didn't get dessert and I always need dessert. And then I remembered that C's always has free samples. So if you can get free dessert, if you and your whoever go into C's Candy and ask for a free sample, you don't have to buy anything. You can just walk up to the lady and they'll give you a full chocolate.
And you choose which one you want, right? Or did they just give you one?
I didn't want to push it. They just gave me one. But what they gave us was fantastic.
I think you can say, like, I can I have a free sample? I'd like to try that one.
Oh, my God. I've been obsessed with See's candy. For some reason, this year, I've had just, like, had See's candy on the brain. Like,
it's undeniable, you know?
It goes hand in hand with the Tetris thing, I think.
What's going on? I'm, like, regressing.
I think we're all just trying to survive, you know? And See's candy's a part of that.
It is. I mean, this is so, like, what? I mean, maybe, like, indicative of, like, I don't have as refined of a palate as I think I do, but I think See's candy just like is just ideal chocolate. Like,
it's so good.
I think so.
I can't tell you the last time I've actually had a piece of See's candy. Mm-hmm. I don't mess with the chocolate. I don't like a box of chocolates very much.
Really? Why?
Yeah. I think it's because I feel like there's like half the flavors I'm not really into. I'd rather go for like a bar that I know has the combo that I'm into and I'm getting more of it that way. Right. Yeah, yeah. Sometimes
I see what you're saying. Yeah, the box can be a little like hit or miss if you don't want some of the stuff in there.
Yeah.
I told you guys I'm a type 7. Box of chocolate, that's classic type 7 shit.
I will say for Valentine's, Adam got me Valerie chocolates, and they're kind of like a little bit fancy, and they were fucking incredible. Mm-hmm. So I think like I love See's and I always take it, but I don't think they're like the fanciest chocolate.
I don't think they're I know they're not the fanciest, but I think they're like at the top of the game. Like I really love See's candy. Like it is
same
so fucking good. Like just when you like, because it's like when you just want like a old fashioned piece of chocolate, nothing fancy, no hipster, nothing, just like chocolate.
You're saying chocolate without anything in it?
No. I'm the opposite of Brandy. I like pretty much all chocolate. So like, but like a chocolate, you know, like a square, a circle, whatever.
Yes.
But a chocolate that comes in like a little paper doily.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I just want a bag of heart shaped Reese's.
Sure.
That is, much prefer that. I would happily just take that.
I get that.
Yeah.
I get that.
Yeah, no, C's has a definite like special place in my heart for sure.
Mm-hmm. I think because I'm a teacher's free sample kid forever. But yeah, free sample. Oh, yeah. Free sample. Oh, by the way, okay, this is a hack for just the Americana, but tell me how delicious does this sound. You can also get a free sample at Nespresso. So I recommend you take your free C's and then you walk over to Nespresso, you get a free espresso shot and chase it with the C's, like have the two together.
Genius. Ooh, that's genius nice after little... dinner dessert.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That's nice.
Mm-hmm. We need to do a whole Americana, what's free at the Americana walkthrough.
Oh my God, yeah.
Get kicked out again for exposing all their secrets.
I'm ready. Wow, by the way, it's March 13th. Happy birthday, Brandy.
Happy birthday, thank you. Brandy.
It's my birthday. Flip computer.
Talking about free shit.
Yeah.
Oh, I will be getting free shit. Don't worry. I don't know what yet. Although, the only email I've gotten so far is from my college that sent me an email that was like, here's a 10% off coupon for any alumni merch. And I said, fuck.
Go fuck yourself.
Go fuck yourself.
What are we doing?
How dare you? It's my you're gonna lead with happy birthday, and then you're gonna follow it up with that. I'll fight you. You never
10%. Don't even bother sending me a 10% off thing.
No,
what do we think?
10% is always insulting. It's always insulting because I'm sorry. In order for it to feel like a discount, it needs to be more than the tax.
Yes.
Exactly.
Yes, absolutely.
And like, I can find a 10% code off anywhere. Everywhere, every website has a 10% code off if you just Google it.
Yeah.
You're not treating me special. Give me a break here.
Yeah.
And
guess what? Drexel, it's my birthday. I'm going to come into that store, steal whatever I want. That's the discount I want on
that's
my birthday.
That's what you get as an alumni.
Technically, you got
discount.
A lot of my money already. So I think I've actually paid for this shitty hoodie.
They should be sending you something free on your birthday so that you remember them.
I was at Drexel 30 under 30. So
what are we doing?
I got an award. And it was like very cheap. It was a very cheap award. It was like two like pieces of like clear plastic that were held together with like magnets. And then it was just straight up just like a piece of paper that was put in the middle of it.
Oh my God.
I remember like when I took it apart one time and I was like, oh, this is nothing. Of course.
We need more awards. I should just start an awards thing called the We Need More Awards Awards.
I would love, that is an award show I could stand behind. It's just awards for awards.
Be great. Hey, if anybody wants to send us trophies,
it's my birthday. God. Send us trophies.
Send me trophies.
With love.
I would actually love that too because we have a PO box, but I don't. Most trophies probably won't fit in one, mm-hmm. So they would have to be storing it outside the PO box at the post office.
Yeah, let me pick it up. And honestly, please use the PO box more. I stop by quite a bit, and it's empty often.
Please,
sad.
Send us some more.
It's real sad to open up an empty PO box. When you're
it's really
to
starting
people.
To feel like the Po Bucks.
Yeah, exactly.
Please send our Po Bucks something. Happy birthday to Brandy.
Yes.
Thank you for being great.
Everyone and go right now, give her some love on social media.
Yeah, send Brandy some well wishes.
Hey, if you
follow her.
Yeah. If you want to, what you could do, brandyposey.com. I got a merch store. Could buy some stuff for me for my birthday.
Go buy some Brandy merch.
Yeah, that'd be really fun. I love it. I got bandanas. I've got albums. I've got stickers. I've got pictures of me and my dog. Like, I've got all sorts of cute stuff. And that would actually mean a lot. It would be nice if you did that. Please?
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway.
Go wear Brandy on your sleeve.
Yeah. Please. You know what? I'll throw up a code. It'll be 20% off. It's my birthday.
Boom.
There
no
you go.
Apostrophe, right?
Yeah, no apostrophe. Just straight. It's my birthday.
Wow,
it's my birthday.
She's giving 20... a better discount than she's getting. How about that?
Yes. Look at this. I'm a giver. Mm-hmm. New decade, new me.
And hey, listen up. If you're in Denver, I'm going to be there tomorrow night at Sushi High, headlining. That show is always super fun. Come hang out. And then the following week, oh my God, March 22nd, I'm recording my album in Reno with Brandy Posey and Burn This Records.
Woo-hoo!
There's a 7 p.m. and a 9 p.m. show. It's going to be a blast. So definitely come to that.
Yes. I'm so excited. It's going to be a really, really fun time. Hell yeah.
And I've got a show tonight on March 13th. If you happen to be in L.A., I'm doing a show at the Comedy Store, 10:30 p.m. With Ashley Ray. We're co-hosting it. And Lacey Mosley's on the show and a lot of other funny comics, so come check that out. And then I also have another show on the 27th called Larry David Presents at the SIJCC. It's got Naomi Epp Carrigan, Ever Maynard, and it's going to be really fun too. So yeah, check out ladytoladycomedy.com. We've got all of our deets on there for all of our collective shows that we're doing. So
yeah. Oh, real quick.
See too, us.
St. Patrick's Day is, picture this, is 13th anniversary at the Elysian.
Wow.
So come on down and see the show. Come see the show, laddie. Come see the show.
Seize the day. And
seize the day. Carpe your
eat
diem.
Eat some potatoes and come to the show.
Come on down to the show, laddie.
I have to say, I... never mind.
Go on.
No, please.
No, I just... I wrote a joke. I was reading a pilot where I wrote a joke that made myself laugh. And it was that, like, Molly, it was that Irish Molly makes you really hungry. And that was the real reason for the potato famine. Never mind. It doesn't make any sense. I'm just, you know.
It was actually the English.
Those are all of our things. So, yeah, go support us. Come to our shows and... Let's get to this week's episode.
Oh, baby, it's a fun one. Who we got?
We had a really fun time hanging out with this gal. She is one of our, one of our favorite guests returning for another ep. She's got a new podcast out called What Is a Jeopardy Podcast? It's Emily Heller. Oh, my God. So excited to have our guest back. She's got a new podcast called What Is a Jeopardy Podcast? Emily Heller, hi!
Hi. Oh my gosh, I'm so happy to be back. It's been a while.
It's so nice having you back. You're like, you're one of the regulars. You're in the
Yeah, I'd like to think so.
Yeah.
I've done it twice.
Yeah, exactly. Which I was like, we don't have people back that often.
But also, you were the guest on by far our most awkward failure of a live podcast. Do you remember
our very first, first live
in Portland at the coffee shop?
You have been on more than twice.
I remember Portland. I don't remember it being awkward.
Well, it was at a like actively open coffee shop. So we were like at a table at a coffee shop, and customers were just like coming in, like, "Yeah, can I get like a cappuccino, a scone?"
And we didn't have individual mics. We just had one. We had one like mic. We had one Zoom set on the coffee table in front of us.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. See, that feels like something where I'm like, at the time, I was just like, this is normal. This is how podcasts are supposed to go, I guess.
It kind of was. Like, we still did it. I mean, now I think we'd be like, never mind. But we still did it.
We were all babies. This is easily 11 years ago.
When we were 17.
Oh my gosh.
We were at school in the coffee shop. It was great.
It is kind of like, I don't know. Every so often I'll like, I was just thinking about how in college, I just never owned a bed frame the entire time I was in college. And the thought didn't cross my mind. Like, I made myself a fake headboard out of cardboard that I like spray painted and glued a bunch of fake jewels onto. And I was like, I could have gotten a bed frame for the amount of money I spent on crafting supplies for this bed. At one point, I think I like stole a bunch of milk crates and made myself like a bed platform out of those. But it's just like thinking back to that, I'm just sort of like, oh yeah, that just did not cross my mind as something I'd ever need.
Not remotely. That a bed frame seems so superfluous when you're in college. And your whole life is so transitory. Yeah, most of your furniture is literal garbage.
Yes.
To be fair, I kind of feel that way about DIY in general now, where I'm like, I'll do it myself. And then I end up spending so much money. And I'm like, I should have just paid someone to do this. Like,
oh my gosh.
That was not a good idea. So I think, I don't know if I've learned my lesson on that, is what I'm saying.
I 100% have not. I spend so much money gardening.
Mm. Yeah.
And just growing vegetables that I throw away. I'm not eating them. I do not eat them.
Do you get, are you able to gift any of them?
I do gift some of them. Okay, and sometimes I just leave them in the ground.
Yeah.
You're gifting them to
let the ground have them.
What are you growing right now?
You should be one
right
of the houses that has like a little, like a crate outside just full of fruit or veggies.
We do have that for our lemons. And I put out like 10 lemons sometimes and they're gone in an hour.
Yep.
Lemons are hot. It's a hot commodity.
I
personally
buy lemons.
Picked up a lemon today.
Yeah, I use community lemon sourcing.
Oh, yeah. That's the way to go. It's in L.A., you're a fool if you're buying lemons in the store. Yeah. They're everywhere.
Yeah.
But yeah, gardening is one of those things that I know you've like really started doing a lot in the last few years, and I kind of have, and we're trying to like redo our front, and it doesn't look good, and I should pay someone to do it. Like, it looks like shit, and I'm like,
it looks like shit for a while whenever you redo anything.
That's true.
And then the plants grow and it starts to look more normal.
Yeah, it just takes a long. I think for someone who has no patience, it's like, oh, right. This is not a, this is a waiting game.
That's yes. The lesson. It teaches you patience. That's like the main good thing about it is it teaches you patience, because you just sit and wait for a plant to change a minuscule amount over and over and over again.
See, I desperately want to be good at gardening because I love being surrounded by plants. And it's probably a self-fulfilling prophecy, but I can't keep plants alive. And I really want to learn how to grow pot, which I know is so stereotypical, but it would save me a lot of money.
I think that right now there are like 200 men in Los Angeles who would love to explain to you how to grow pot for free. Yeah. They'll pay you.
Absolutely.
Yeah, you should just be like hosting a symposium in my backyard where you come show me how to grow pot, and then they all just come do it.
It's just a picture of you with a hoe just being like, I don't know. And then they'll just beeline it.
What's crypto?
Hey, it's up right now. It's exciting.
So, Emily, tell us about your new podcast. I'm assuming you've been a Jeopardy fan for a while, but what made you decide to start a pod?
I'm very excited about this. So I've actually only been a Jeopardy fan for like a few years.
Really?
And yeah, I mean, I've watched it when I was like growing up, but only sort of recently did I start watching it like every day, like regular basis, keeping up with the contestants and stuff like that. And I ended up, do you guys know John Cullen? He's a Canadian comedian and podcaster.
I know the name. I don't know him personally, but yeah.
He also hosts the show Blocked Party. And I saw him tweeting about Jeopardy, and we started talking about it. And I went on his podcast, and we just like basically accidentally did a pilot episode of our Jeopardy podcast on his podcast. And afterward, we were like, should we just do a Jeopardy podcast? And we looked into it, and there are like no comedy podcasts about Jeopardy.
Oh, wow.
That's surprising. Wow.
Isn't that weird? Because it's the most popular show on television by a lot of measures. Mm-hmm. It is the only reason why I have like any version of like live TV. It is like they have an official podcast that's put out by Jeopardy producers, but they don't get to talk about like who they're rooting for. You know what I mean? Like,
you can't do that. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's very like rah rah. We love everyone and everything about this show. And there's no real jokes in there. Let's be honest.
Of course.
But it's been a long time coming. We were like really trying to figure out the right time to start it because we didn't want to start it during the writer's strike when the show was using reused clues. And so we decided to start with the Tournament of Champions, which has just started airing. And we recorded our first episode yesterday. It comes out on Tuesday, March 4th. And I can't believe how much we had to talk about just in the first episode alone, because this Tournament of Champions, people are calling it the Tournament of Chaos. Like, everything has been, there have, like, three out of the six games were wild upsets. Like,
really?
The top seed is out in the first round. Wow. There was a champion who won.
Did they lose it all in Final Jeopardy, or what happened?
So, it's honestly very exciting. So, Chris Pannullo, there's a number of reasons why this year is, like, totally different than other years in terms of the Tournament of Champions. For one thing, like, it got delayed so long because of the writer's strike, and it got delayed even longer in part because one of the champions who was in, like, the top five went online and was like, I heard that they were planning on using reused clues. I am a union set decorator. I will not participate in this while the writers are still on strike. And all of the other like top champions were like, we're with you. And so it literally,
that's amazing.
That's awesome.
That's wonderful, really cool. Solidarity from the nerds. It was very exciting. But and once there's one champion from last season named Chris Pannullo who had the longest streak of the season. He had 21 games, which is really long for Jeopardy. Mm-hmm. Like, the most obviously is Ken Jennings with 74, but after that, it's like Amy Schneider with, I think, 43. Mm-hmm. And so 21 is a really long run. And he had his first Tournament of Champions game on Monday, and he lost in a runaway to another player.
Wow.
It was like,
wait, what does that mean? What's a runaway?
So a runaway game means that the person in first place cannot lose in Double Jeopardy or in Final Jeopardy. Like, they have enough money that the game is locked.
I see.
Like,
okay.
It doesn't matter how anyone responds in Final Jeopardy. As long as they bet zero, they have more than double the next person behind them.
Right.
And
got it.
And it was a locked game, like four clues before the game ended. So it's like he was just standing up there knowing the game was over for like multiple clues. It was heartbreaking.
That's wild to me too, to also be doing that math the same time that you're running through the Rolodex of facts that you have memorized over the last several decades. Yeah. I just can't. The idea of holding that much in my head at once is exhausting.
No. Babs and I just did a show with Andy Wood, a comic we know. How many times did Andy win Jeopardy?
I think four or five, which is like a lot. Good.
Like, I can't believe we know someone who's won multiple games of Jeopardy. And I need to talk to him more about it because I'm like, how do you even like study for Jeopardy?
Leslie Tsina too. She did. She was a Jeopardy person. Yeah.
Wow.
We're going to have them all on eventually. Yeah. A lot of people study using like kids' books. Like kids' books about geography, kids' books about science, things like that. But anyway, that was a huge upset. There have been, and that was like, the first of his games. It was truly shocking. I was actually genuinely very upset. I'm much more invested in it this year for many reasons. But so we had a lot to talk about on the first episode. I'm really excited about it. But yeah, I mean, I kind of got into Jeopardy because of Amy Schneider, who was like that. She was a super champion. She was, I think, the first like super well-known trans player on Jeopardy. And she's from the Bay Area. And my husband was just like, should we try and watch those games? And we watched just her run and got really into it and then started watching regular Jeopardy. And now I'm just in it now. And I've been to tapings, too, now. Wow. They're very fun.
What's their warm-up situation at a Jeopardy? Is it like an old man that comes out and tells you stories about...
That sounds
It is Jimmy from the Clue Crew.
Oh.
Wait, the Clue Crew? What is that?
So the Clue Crew, R.I.P. the Clue Crew. Yeah. The Clue Crew were the... those correspondents where they'd be like, I'm here at Machu Picchu and and they kind of ended the Clue Crew with COVID. Understandably,
definitely not germane to the point of Jeopardy. Like, it feels a little unnecessary. Like,
and it is, probably, but it's also like, it's damn, fun. You know.
But what a gig, though. Where they're just like, can you fly me to Machu Picchu to be like, there's 1,000 stairs.
And you're like, we could definitely just have shown a picture of Machu Picchu. We did not need to do this.
There's a little dash of Carmen Sandiego in the show.
Yes. Absolutely. Yeah.
But so it's Jimmy. He's like now just a producer and like stage manager at the show. And he comes out and just tells like some dad jokes and tells you how it's going to work and stuff. But they don't need a lot of warm up. The games move really fast. It's basically real time from what you see on TV. So it's like 20 minutes and then it's done. And then they do another game. They do 5 games in a day.
So like, can you just go catch a Jeopardy and then like go to Pilates or whatever? Like, it's not a big
like when we went, we just saw the like they do 3 before lunch and 2 after lunch, and so we just came like after lunch, we saw 2 games, and then we like went and ate, and that was it. It's in Culver City. It's Sony. I don't know how you like can get tickets, but I think it's pretty easy.
Yeah, I think so.
I strongly recommend
it. Most game shows, if you like really put in some effort, you can get in the audience.
Yeah, and a lot of times it's like not that full, like especially mm-hmm. because most people there are there to see like their loved ones compete mm-hmm. and yeah. they don't know when they're going up. Like it's kind of like they know roughly like which days, but they don't know which games because of mm-hmm. just how it works
oh,
with like,
sure. yeah.
you know, more people cycle through. And so people will kind of like leave after their family members are done. And so right. there was like the audience was like half full when we were there. But
really, they're not locking them in there like they do for like if you're for most because yeah. I feel like if you're an audience for most shows, they're like, you cannot leave until we are done. Like you can't go to the bathroom. We're giving you like Snickers, mini Snickers. And that's it.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. We're just going to pelt you with mini Snickers until you have had enough sugar to be OK being here for another 3 hours.
I think it. It helps that it's not a comedy and like yeah. you don't need to hear the audience laughing.
That's true. Right, right, right.
Yeah. You literally just need to hear them clapping twice. And
yeah. Because like any other, having been to Price is Right a few times and they're like, okay, we need energy. And you're just like, I'm so tired.
Oh yeah. My God. Yeah. I will say the most exhausted I've ever been in the audience of a live taping was when I went to go see a Maury Povich episode.
Oh, wow.
Oh, yeah.
They give you a workout on that show.
Sure.
Oh, my God.
And they're expecting you to scream the whole time.
They're expecting you to scream. They're also like, coaching you on acting while the show is happening. They basically have a producer who is like paying attention to what's happening on the show and then like coaching the audience to have a really dramatic reaction. Like if some guy says something snaky, the producer will do like big thumbs down and be like, oh no, so that the audience will be like, I don't like it. And then like they'll fake cry if they think you like need to be sad, and they'll just like yeah. really work you up into a lather. It's outrageous.
Man, what an amazing job to have. Like, you know what, when I went to film school, they really didn't lay out the full scope of things that I could have done in Hollywood. I really wish there had been like one that was like, yes, yes, 3-point lighting.
Emotionally
that's fine. Okay.
Manipulate
what about
large yeah. crowds yeah. of people at a time?
Yeah. Where was the manipulation class? I really could have used that.
Have you guys ever done warm up like as a comedian?
I've never
no,
done it.
I would. I would love to. Have you?
Have I done? No, I don't think so. No. Mm-mm.
I've done it a few times. I used to be like the regular warm-up comic for Totally Biased with
oh,
W.
Yeah.
Kamau
oh,
Bell,
yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah,
which
yeah, yeah.
was like a pretty easy warm-up gig because most of the people in the audience there kind of knew what they were there for. It was like,
yeah.
it was like, it wasn't like, you know, at, you know, sitcom tapings where it's just like people they pulled off of Hollywood Boulevard who may or may not even speak English. It was like, it was like the staff of Afropunk magazine. Like they yeah. know what they're there cool. for. And that was really fun. One of the things that's really fun about doing warm up is like one of your jobs is to get the audience to just laugh at up top, not at one of your jokes. Like you need a clean audio of the laugh. So you literally are telling them like, when I raise my fist in the air, you're going to laugh really hard. Mm-hmm. And they do it. And it feels as gratifying as telling a good joke.
Oh, I bet.
Oh, I like that. Yeah, yeah.
It's like such a cheat code to get the good feelings that we're after as comedians.
That's so funny.
I think you just tapped into like why there's such thing as like clapter comedians. Because like it doesn't actually matter maybe we just have like a neural response to like the audience just responding to us. And
just
like,
making a sound.
Yeah.
Give me those
it's
sweet
so
sounds, man.
It's yeah. so like primal and basic.
I'll never forget. I went once. David Cross and Bob Odenkirk like filmed an HBO like pilot, and I went to the taping, and the warm up comic was horrific, like bad, really bombing. And I remember David Cross at one point literally just took his mic and started doing stand up instead. And like I feel. Felt bad for him, but it was also fucking hilarious.
Yeah.
And that guy lives like half a block away from me. That comic, every time I see him, that's all I can think about. Like,
oh no! And I am going to need the name.
Yes, you'll get it. Yeah. Yeah, you're doing a lot of shows in Vegas, so.
Man, what a gig to get to be like, oh, I have to do comedy to warm up for David Cross and Bob Odenkirk. Like,
oh my
God. I'm shocked they didn't just have one of their friends come in. And
I think maybe it wasn't. I have no idea how this guy got this gig. I was like, I felt it was so awkward. And then, yeah, he just totally took over. And it was, I felt so bad for him. But
one of my first gig, like job, not even jobs, I came to LA. I didn't know anybody. I just needed to make money. And I would, for $40 a day, just be in Craig Ferguson's audience and just watch his warm up.
I didn't know you did that.
Oh, yeah. When I first moved out here, it was like $40 cash every day. And the best part, if you got there a little bit late, and then, but if they didn't, if they like didn't need you, you used to have got $40. So that was the sweet spot to try to get into.
Because
his warm up comic at this point, this was 16 years ago. So maybe he got a better one. But it was this guy that was so bad. And he was like, he would pelt you with candy. Yeah. And just till he had the exact same set every day. And it was about how he was fat, but he wore a Speedo at the beach. And I just remember him. And he would like, he'd hit what was supposed to be a punchline. And then music would play. And he would do this thing with his face. And then he would throw candy at you. And it was so bad. And I hated him so much.
Oh my God.
And I love Craig Ferguson. I loved his show. And I was like, I can't do it anymore.
It's a tricky thing with warm-up comics because it's like you don't want them to be funnier than the show. You just want them to be like to remind the audience that they're awake and alive and in person somewhere.
Right. Yeah,
but there is a risk you run of being so foul that you sour the audience. Yeah, I also...
Cursed person.
One other sort of like wild warm-up experience I had was... When I was living in New York, I did warm up for these election specials for like the 2012 election that were on Logo, and they were hosted by Wanda Sykes, and they were panel shows. And so I was supposed to just come out during like the commercial breaks and like do material. And I was like I was a pretty young comic at the time, and I would have probably done this gig a little bit differently now, but I was like, do I have to be clean? And they're like, it's fucking Logo, of course not,
right?
And I was like, okay, great. And like obviously it was like I could tell that like if I got a little dirtier, the audience was really into it. And so I was like, okay, I'm just gonna do it. And I had to do more time than I expected to, and so I like went into this joke I had about fisting.
And, I like how you're like clutching your pearls now, and it's your own joke.
And Wanda Sykes yelled at me in front of everyone. She like she just like heard the word fisting, and she had not been watching my set.
Right, so that's like.
But
all
she stopped to be like, and the thing is, it's like people were like, was she joke mad or was she real mad? Mm. And the thing about Wanda Sykes is you cannot tell the difference when you're in it.
Right. Because her voice is like either way.
She sells it if it was fake. If it was fake, she was selling it hard. It was the most terrifying. But she was like, Barney Frank is on the panel. Why are you talking about fisting in front of Barney Frank?
What did you do? Like, did you have to finish your set?
I just stopped talking and I think got off. I was like, sorry. And then they were like, we're coming back anyway. Like, it was, thankfully, that was the last day, but.
Oh my God. Yeah.
Brutal. I also got to see RuPaul in person at that. Like, he was on the panel, and it was so hard doing comedy in front of RuPaul, not because, like, I thought I could make him laugh, but because all of the gay men in the audience were not paying attention to me anymore.
Yeah, they don't care about you.
And it was so wild because RuPaul was not in drag, just like straight clothes, but just sitting there at the desk. And when the panel was on break for the commercials, he just sat there with his hands folded, looking forward, like powered down like a robot. And
I could see that,
like not doing anything, and I still could not get the audience to pay attention to me instead of him.
I mean, that's when you should have tried the fisting joke. That's what
I would love the fisting joke.
That's the that's the panel for the fisting bit.
We saw an episode of Drag Race All Stars, and I'll never forget RuPaul came out, and like just for like the 40 people that were in the audience, he came out like in a dress, the whole deal. And just for us, he was like, you know how like the judges sit in the back? He's like, I just want you guys to see my full outfit. So he like came out and like modeled his outfit for us. And I was just like,
yeah.
Yeah.
So amazing.
I love that. Thank you. I mean, I'm have not finished, but am reading the like Ronan Farrow profile of RuPaul that came out in The New Yorker. It's new because I think like it's to promote his book. But they do mention that like it takes him 6 hours for his looks on that show.
That's insane.
Yeah.
So I don't blame him for being like, you need to look at this.
No, it's so exact. Yeah. And like, I've been there, you know, I've made my husband be like, look, I got dressed up for an audition. Like, you need to appreciate this.
No, yeah, it's like when you get your makeup done and you're like, I have, somebody put lashes on me. I got to do something with it.
I got to do something. Yeah. That's the thing about like, there's not that many like times in our lives as comedians where people do our makeup.
Yeah,
totally.
It's like maybe if you do Conan or like At Midnight or something like that. And when it happens, you're like, I need to hit the town. I have never looked like this.
I don't like clubbing, but maybe we try that tonight. Just
You feel like Mario with firepower. You're like, let's fucking go.
Exactly. There's a limited amount of time. We've got to get out of here.
Yes. Because also my face feels really hot. Like,
yeah, exactly. It's melting slowly. I don't know when it will turn, but it will turn.
Yes.
I feel like the last couple times I've gotten my makeup done, there's been a moment where like it'll look great, but then there will be like the last setup is something where they have to fuck it up. And I'm like, but yeah. And now we got to
Like, you mean for like an acting gig or something like acting, they're like, this is the scene where your character gets like water poured on her head or
exactly. And you're like, but it looked good. I was going to use it. Okay. Okay. I guess this was the order to shoot the shit in, but whatever.
I did successfully put my own lashes on for the first time ever the other night. And I was like, okay,
congratulations.
This is a game changer. Oh, I can actually.
What kind of lashes? I've never really experimented with lashes because I feel like they always just like hit my glasses.
Yeah, they were just like, I just bought some like ones at CVS that were natural looking. So they weren't like giant, you know. Which
strip or individual?
Just a strip. Because I was like, the individual, I will barely have time to get the one on. I can't do the individuals. But I did it. And it, you know what? It felt good. It's kind of wild.
How much of a transformation?
It's crazy.
It's too much. It's you really shouldn't crazy. Just like first class flying ruins you. I feel like a lash ruins you because you shouldn't see yourself that hot.
Yeah, it's like it's not cool.
No,
honestly,
you're gonna be chasing.
It is
high.
Really funny that it's like it's such the cartoon like this is a girl thing, even
it
though
is.
It is not gendered who has eyelashes. Like,
no.
Absolutely, there's an even distribution. But it's really funny that it's like we do the same thing to us that we do to like our car if we want to make our car look like a girl with the like eyelashes
okay,
on the thing.
How do we feel about those eyelashes? I don't know about that. Dressing up a car in general, I think I'm not super in favor of. I don't think
well,
I like car
I
costumes.
Mean, do you want people to fuck your car or not?
Yeah. I prefer lashes to balls. So,
I want both. You cannot do one or the other. It's like you have to have the truck nuts and the like headlight eyelashes.
If I saw a car that had truck nuts and lashes, I would go out of my way to befriend that person.
Yeah.
That's true.
Oh, yeah.
That's the right combo. I saw a Jeep with truck nuts the other day and I hadn't seen truck nuts in forever. And I was like, whoa, we're still out here in the
world.
We're
still doing that? Are they still like veiny and stuff?
They're still veiny. And cool. They were like, it was in stop and go traffic. So there was like a real like movement to it as it was going. I was like, ugh. Just stuck behind them.
Yeah, they don't quite, they don't nail the like stickiness of real nuts in truck nuts.
No.
They put some talc on it.
All right, we have to take a break. We'll be back. I got nothing.
At the end of a long day, who doesn't want to wander aimlessly through a crowded grocery store trying to cobble together a recipe with your last remaining bit of energy? Not you, me neither. Fortunately, with Factor, you can enjoy fresh, chef-crafted meals from the comfort of your own home in just 2 minutes. You can't even order takeout that fast. Each week, you can choose from over 35 of Factor's fresh, never frozen meals to be delivered right to your front door. Feeling good and eating good should last all day long. Factor has over 60 add-ons to choose from, like cold-pressed juices, egg bites, chocolate coconut macaroons, and more. From breakfast to midday bites and delish dinners, Factor is the perfect solution for fast, premium options with no cooking required. Your takeout won't arrive in 2 minutes, and it won't be as affordable either. Factor is more nutritious and less expensive than traditional takeout. What more could you want? I'm getting my first Factor box this week, and I really can't wait because there's a lot of delicious options in it. I've got garlic herb salmon coming, smoked tofu almond stir fry. There's a chipotle rubbed pork chop that looks amazing. And these boxes also have veg options and non-veg options available. There's truffle butter filet mignon, chimichurri ground beef bowls, garlic and herb roasted mushrooms. Oh my gosh, I can't wait for this thing to get here. Head to factormeals.com/ladytolady50 and use code LADY2LADY50 to get 50% off. That's code LADY, T-O-LADY50 at factormeals.com/LADY-T-O-LADY50 to get 50% off today.
Lady to Lady is sponsored by BetterHelp. Part of getting older is exploring the concept of time. What's up with the personification of time being a father, not a mother, right? And also, if Beyonce really has the same amount of time as everyone else, are we positive she hasn't been cloned? We may never fully understand time, but therapy can help us make the most of it. Therapy is a place to explore and learn about yourself, and BetterHelp is the place to start. They'll help you find a therapist that you can trust, someone that can help you face challenges like anxiety, grief, parenting, relationship dynamics, you name it. Getting started is easy. Just fill out a brief questionnaire and be matched with a licensed therapist. And if the match doesn't click, you can switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Therapy has been a great influence on my life, and I think it's an awesome idea for anyone. Make the most for yourself. Learn to make time for what makes you happy with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/lady today and get 10% off your first month. That's betterhelp.com/lady.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Lady to Lady. I'm Brandy.
I'm Babs.
I'm Tess.
And I'm Emily. And Tess didn't
hear. We didn't hear you. I don't
you
know
didn't
why.
Hear me?
Tess.
Yeah, can you hear me now? Okay, let me see it. Yes. Well, it should be and I'm Tess.
It'll be in your audio. Sometimes Zoom will like cut out a tone that it thinks you're not allowed to hear.
Yeah, it's weird.
Okay.
But we got it.
All right.
Got it. Okay. Emily, we're going to play a game with you. It's based very directly on Inside the Actor's Studio. It's called Inside the Lady.
Yes.
It's the exact same questions.
Do we have a theme song for this?
No.
No, we oh, okay.
We keep,
do you want me to make one up?
You can just imagine.
Yeah, please.
Yeah, make one up, please.
Yeah. Ba-da-ba-ba, inside the lady, here we go. What she got going on in there? Boo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo. Oh, no. Is that good?
Instant
Holy
earworm.
Shit. Incredible.
Amazing.
Definitely cutting that, playing it for all of them.
If any of our listeners want that audio and would like to put like a beat underneath of it, we would not be upset about it, but we would love it. Yeah. Lady to Lady Comedy at gmail.com. Show us your wares.
Show us your wares.
Show us your wares.
All right, Emily, what is your favorite word?
Oh, splinter.
That's your favorite word? Mm.
It's the first evocative. One that comes to mind. I like how it can be a noun and a verb.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Or
a rat. Don't forget.
Yeah, or like, a rat.
Ninja Turtles.
Yeah.
Whenever my cat gets really animatronic looking, I don't know if everyone has this with their animals, but she just like looks extra cute and is blinking her eyes. She reminds me of Splinter.
My dog looks like Splinter sometimes. He can have a real splintery moment.
Yeah. Oh, he does. He does. He gives Splinter for sure.
Yeah. Big time.
That's a good one. That's a really good one.
Thank you. I'm going to regret it later. I'm going to wake up in the middle of the night sweating and be like, oh, no, octopus or whatever. But,
you know, it's a lot of pressure. It's a lot of pressure to be put under. So I'm impressed that you had something off the cuff.
We're asking you for favorites. And I feel like, does anyone ever really actually have a favorite anything? You know, like when people are like, what's your favorite food? It's like, I don't know, what am I in the mood for right now? I don't have like a favorite food.
Yeah. I contain multitudes.
I'm not a constant.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Piles
I don't even have like any of the same cells that I used to.
Exactly.
Yeah.
We're on like version 4 or 5, I think, of cells.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
By the way, I'm listening to the Barbra Streisand memoir right now, and she in her like first Broadway play in her bio for the program, she was like, everyone else was saying that they were like a member of the Actors Studio, so mine just said she is not a member of the Actors Studio.
She's Emily. I binge listened to that whole thing in like 2.5 weeks.
Oh my gosh. It's
binged it in 2.5 weeks. It's so long.
It's so long because she's reading so slow. I listened to it at 1.3 speed and then she sounds normal, but it's broken up with so much music that then I had to go back to normal speed because that's oh, right, the music sounds weird now.
I was doing the exact same thing because you don't want to miss that. And that because I also like got so obsessed with it that I also got a hard copy of the book and it's like wildly different. Like she goes off script a lot in the audiobook. Like
that's
she'll read
what
a
I've
review
heard.
And be like, well, that's lovely they wrote that. Oh, they said that to me?
It's so funny. She's like, so much of it sounds like under her breath, just sort of like, well, I mean, I guess that's what it was.
Yeah.
The only other audiobook that I've ever listened to that was like that was Leah Remini's.
Oh, that makes me want to listen to Leah Remini's.
She sounds drunk. It's like she adds curse words in the audiobook that I do not think are in the regular book.
That's hilarious.
That's what you gotta do though. That's kind of fun. Like, yeah, make it a different experience.
Yeah, give me like a one take audiobook. Just go in the booth, come out 48 hours later,
and fully admit that you didn't write most of the book and just comment on it as though.
Yeah, exactly. I'm gonna have my notes will be in the audiobook version.
Okay, you know what's coming up next then, Emily. What is your least favorite word?
Oh, conch, but like the shell,
because
it's spelled
it? Oh,
conch,
yes,
because it's spelled conch, and saying conch sounds it leaves me unsatisfied. I want to say conch.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
I agree.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, I guess just ladies, this is the first time I'm learning how to say that word.
Tess had a very visceral, and I was like, uh-oh, what's she going through?
I know.
And you know what?
What?
I'm on your side. Like, I'm on your side. It's wrong. I mean,
because it needs the softness at the end. Like, conch? You can't say it without swallowing it.
It probably comes from, like, another language that I'm being ignorant about right now. But I think just growing up thinking that it was conch has made it feel unsatisfying to me.
This totally changes my experience of Lord of the Flies. They were passing around a conch.
Oh, they're conch. Conch shell.
Yeah.
It was conch.
I think Lord of the Flies and what's the Island of the Blue Dolphins?
Is there conch in that? Is it a conky tonk? A donk a donk.
See, that's the way they say it.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, that's true. I feel like it's been around late. I don't know why, but conch's been in the zeitgeist lately.
Y'all, I have a conch in my house and I didn't know how to say it. I have a conch that I got in Belize.
I probably have multiple things I don't know how to pronounce in my house.
Okay.
Oh, wait, Emily, I meant to ask you this. Would you ever want to go on Jeopardy?
Oh, that's a good question.
So I would not do well on regular Jeopardy because there are facets of like canonical knowledge that I refuse to educate myself about. Mm-hmm. I will not ever learn the periodic table of the elements. Like, it just is not going to happen. But I do want to go on Celebrity Jeopardy and just like really kick some ass.
You would clean up on Celebrity Jeopardy.
I would clean up. Yeah. And I like to say that like my toxic trait is that I am confident that like if I was on Celebrity Jeopardy, I would not be nervous and nothing about the experience would affect me. I would just be like truly good and just like kick ass.
Wait,
and do
so
really
the questions are different on Celebrity
Jeopardy?
Yeah,
they give them softballs.
They're much easier.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, because you got like actors and shit.
Because it's actors and yet they still tend to look pretty stupid.
Yeah. The comedian always wins when it's
the comedian always wins. Mm-hmm. And let me tell you something that is also novel about this year's Tournament of Champions. So the winner of this year's Celebrity Jeopardy tournament was Ike Barinholtz, who revealed in his interviews that he had applied to get on Jeopardy before he was famous. Like, he wanted to be on regular Jeopardy, and they invited him to compete in the Tournament of Champions, and he is playing his game. I mean, it airs the night that we're recording this. And so he's competing against the regular nerds, and I cannot wait to see it. I'm like, genuinely, anything. I was like confident he was going to get his ass kicked, but it's the Tournament of Chaos this year. Anything can happen. I can't wait to see.
I respect it. It feels kind of like Tom Cruise doing his own stunts. Like, totally unnecessary, but I respect it.
Yes. It's unnecessary, and it's like, what are you doing? But
also, yeah, like, why the fuck not? Sure.
But why the fuck not? I mean, there's also this been, it's been in the news lately, like, on her Oscar campaign, Emma Stone revealed that she takes the test every year to get on regular Jeopardy. And people were like, well, why don't you go on Celebrity Jeopardy? And she's like, because that's not real Jeopardy. Whoa, I want to be on the regular show.
Shade. That's awesome.
Ooh, I hope that causes her some red carpet shenanigans someday.
Well, the official Jeopardy podcast has like responded and been like, Celebrity Jeopardy has a path to the Tournament of Champions now, but that's not what she wants. She wants to know how she'd do on a real game.
No, I get that. Yeah. Especially if you're like a celebrity like that, like you have so few opportunities to live like the people.
Live like a norm.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
And I will say the Tournament of Champions is much harder than regular Jeopardy. Mm-hmm. Not like a ton, but noticeably. And so Ike Barinholtz is going to be going from Celebrity Jeopardy, which is very easy, to like something that's harder than regular Jeopardy, completely bypassing the intermediate step. And, you know, like, anyway.
Man, I'm just thinking about like Ike Barinholtz's celebrity friends for the last like several months as he's been prepping for this, like not knowing what to do with him. He's been just doing like real studying and real preparing. Just, hey, Ike, there's another appearance. And they're like, no, this is all that matters.
I'm reading children's history books.
I wonder how much he's been preparing. I'm very curious.
I don't know. I hope
he's someone we definitely want to have on the podcast. I feel like it's going to happen, but I want to see how he does first. Maybe he wins the whole thing.
Like you said,
sounds chaotic.
How long does it last? Does it last for a week, or how long is the tournament?
Oh my god, I think it's like 3 weeks. Oh, it's okay. It's the largest pool they've ever had. There's 27 competitors, so there are, I guess, what's 29 quarterfinal games, and then, I guess, three.
That takes it down to,
You're getting me excited. Now I want to watch this. I've never been like a big Jeopardy person, but this sounds exciting. I want to watch.
It is satisfying. And it also make you feel smart watching Jeopardy. Because I'll never forget when I was like a teenager, I was watching Jeopardy with my grandparents, and I got every answer right in the category cheeses of the world.
It's all about the categories.
Yeah.
Yes.
What's your favorite kind of category?
I mean, whenever there's like any like funny ladies category, it's always the most like first thought Tina Fey questions you could ever think of. Those are super easy. I actually like the before and afters. Any of the word puzzle ones where it's like it's not based on your recall. It's like you can solve it in the moment. I like those ones. Like the TV categories I like. I've realized that like any history things, I will only get it if there has been like a popular fictional media based on it. You know what I mean? Where I'm like, I used to get zero questions correct about like the founding fathers until I saw Hamilton, and now I'm like, I know a few things.
Great. Lafayette.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Yes, I'm like, oh yes, the Battle of Yorktown. Like,
is there a name for when somebody like sweeps a whole category?
It's just called sweeping the category.
Okay. I'm just like, it's very exciting when one of them gets it going and you feel it. You just feel it. You feel the despair in the other two and you feel their hope rise. And it's just a really beautiful
And that like the the official Jeopardy podcast said recently, they're like, we're toying with the idea of like awarding some kind of cash bonus to people who sweep a category.
That makes sense.
Like,
yeah.
Not a cash bonus that would affect their final Jeopardy wagering amount, but like just something they would tack on at the end.
Like a tip on the side.
Or no, it's called running the category. You ran that category is what Ken
They ran
Ken
a train on that category.
Yeah.
Oh, man. I wonder what the Reddit forums think about that potential addition. I imagine there's a lot of opinions.
There are a lot of opinions. The Reddit forum is very aggressively moderated, I will say.
Good. It would need it. It would either be the most toxic place on the planet or it needs to be heavily moderated. It's,
yes. Because there's also, I will say, a fucking villain in this tournament, and like entire threads are being deleted about him on the Reddit forum, and it's hilarious to me. Someone created a separate subreddit just to talk shit about this guy because talking shit about him was banned on the regular Jeopardy subreddit. It's
how is he a
wild.
Villain?
So I'm like, God, he's going to name search this. We can't say his name.
Okay.
But there is a guy who went on Jeopardy who's like kind of a big deal in like the trivia world. And he only won 3 games, which like seemed, and most of his anecdotes were kind of about him being hot shit. And people just didn't really like his vibe because he just came off as like not like happy to be there. Mm-hmm. And there's lots of reasons why that can happen, regardless of like how you truly feel. Yeah. But like that combined with his anecdotes and stuff like that, he got a lot of shit online. And then he went on a bunch of like Facebook rants about how Jeopardy is not a meritocratic like test of your quizzing ability. And everyone's like, yeah, it's a TV show. Like,
Take it easy, buddy.
Yeah. And he like really talked a bunch of shit about the show and a bunch of like beloved figures in the Jeopardy community. And now he's back competing in the Tournament of Champions. And
God, this is so juicy. I had no idea there was this much tea in Jeopardy.
There's a lot of tea. And it's one of those things where it's like, the official Jeopardy podcast is not going to talk about it. The subreddit is suppressing speech about it. Absolutely. People are trying to find diplomatic ways of talking about it that will not get their comments deleted. And, but that's why we started our podcast. Honestly, that is why
you
I started
saw a
like.
Need. You saw a need.
Yes.
Okay, we'll do a few more of our Inside the Ladies and take another break. Let's see. Emily, what turns you on?
That's very personal. Yeah. What turns me on?
It must be sexual. No.
Yeah, wait. I mean, clearly talking about Jeopardy, I've been like getting so animated.
You just took your sweater off.
I mean, the Jeopardy season 39 Tournament of Champions. I love talking about that. I also like if I'm at a party and I hear someone talking about rainwater capture, I'll like turn my head and start talking to them about that for sure. But also,
what have you
like
done with all this rainwater, like it's too much. You can't capture all this.
A lot of it's just sitting there in the barrels. But sometimes I'll just empty it out when it's not rainy, and it'll keep the water from running off into the street because it'll absorb into the soil and replenish our underground aquifer and become usable water that we can drink. But I also use it to irrigate a bit and to water my like seedlings and stuff like that. And then I also like this past year got really into raising monarch butterflies.
Yes. I was watching this on your Instagram. It looked really interesting.
It's like a very exciting thing that happens in L.A. in the summertime. The monarchs come and lay their eggs on milkweed, and you get to just watch them turn from these tiny little like sesame seed sized eggs into like a big ass like worm, and then into the chrysalis. The chrysalis thing is so weird. It's like something that I think is just so wasted on children that we teach them about this because they have no understanding of how weird it is. Like, because they still think magic is real. You know what I mean?
Yeah, so it's everything's weird when you're a kid.
Yeah. And you're like, oh, yeah, it's like, of course, you know, but it's much weirder as an adult when you like know how most of the world works, kind of, to be like, so it's not, it doesn't go into an encasement. It's not a cocoon. It's a chrysalis. And the difference between a cocoon and a chrysalis is like a cocoon is something that a caterpillar will build around itself. But a chrysalis is just a thing that it becomes. Yeah. It basically zips off its stripes and then it's just this thing.
So crazy.
And then its body completely liquefies inside of it.
Yeah.
And reforms into a new animal.
What?
It Alex Max inside of itself.
Yeah.
Here we just think, oh, I've been the same cells five different times. Okay, have you turned into a totally different animal?
Yeah. Yeah, like liquefied? A completely different animal. Like you think like, oh, that's like the caterpillar body and then wings. Yeah. No, the whole thing, just they're just like, never mind, we're starting over. And it's so weird.
That's crazy.
So how many did you get?
I think summer...
Is that like a net thing that you built, right?
So I actually kind of stopped using the enclosure that much. Mm-hmm. I had some just like wild that was just like very heartbreaking because the wasps kept eating them and like disease would come and stuff like that. But I think I did maybe like 7 or 8 in the enclosure and then there were like 7 or 8 that were just wild. And like I still have like the empty husks hanging from the side of my house where they like form their chrysalises.
Wow.
Like it's I have this like little ledge next to my like milkweed that is like the perfect like pupation. It's like the pupation ledge. And
well, there's the episode title.
That turns you on.
And like you look very passionate when you're talking about like just for the listener, Emily was pulling at her hair.
It's fascinating though. I mean, like you said, you're just life is just being formed and completely changing, just like in your garden. That's insane.
It's so wild. Yeah. And it's just like I have this like really complicated relationship with them where like I love them, but I think they hate me.
Mm-hmm.
Because they don't know I'm doing any of this stuff for them. They just think I'm like this big weird monkey who's like hanging around and like, you know, shaking their plant and stuff. And occasionally like picking them up and moving them if they're like in an unsafe spot or something like that.
Right.
And so it's like I like resent them for not loving me, even though they're not capable of loving me. And... it's just like this weird, it's this very weird relationship. But then I would just like, especially because it was like last summer I was on strike. And so I wasn't like working or doing anything else. And I would just like go outside and just like look at them for a while. Like that was just like the thing I did.
Yeah. I'm like, God, this bitch again. What the fuck is she doing? It's fucking creep.
Yeah.
So then what, they like fly to Mexico when they're done, right?
Actually, I think the ones that are here, or at least like at my house, I think they just fly to the beach.
Oh.
And they, I mean, Santa Monica or Mexico, it's kind of the same.
Same day. Feels.
Yeah. Okay. There are some that fly to Mexico and some that just go from like east to west to the coast and then like overwinter on the coast.
I love and it. Like, so they winter in Santa Monica and they summer in Silver
they
Lake.
Summer in, okay. Yeah. They it. Summer in Atwater Village.
Oh my God. I feel like we've learned so much today. This is such a fun episode.
I love it.
Oh my gosh. I love talking to you guys.
We have to take another quick break. We'll be back.
Hey everyone, this is Babs. And look, I'm a curvy girl, okay? I'm like one of those signs you see when it says curves ahead. Woo! I got them going on. And sometimes it can be hard to shave all these curves. And that's why I love the Athena Club Razor. This is a sharp razor. I have never gotten such a close shave. My legs are staying shaved consistently. That's how you know I can endorse this razor, is that for the first time in like 15 plus years, I'm actually keeping my legs supple and shaved. And I really love them. And I love this razor. And it's only $10, you know, so it's really great. They send you replacement heads in the mail once every month, or, you know, you can do it less than that if you want. I know we've all tried a lot of razors, but I'm not kidding you. This is an incredible razor, and I highly recommend it. If you want to get in there and maybe chop down the weeds that have been growing for a little bit, not speaking from personal experience. Yes, I am. Are you ready to upgrade your shaving experience? Switch to the best razor on the market and show your skin that you care with Athena Club. Head over to athenaclub.com to try their award-winning razor and body products and get 20% off your purchase with code LADYTOLADY at checkout. Again, that's code LADYTOLADY. You can also find Athena Club razors at your local Target store. Trust me, you won't look back. Happy shaving.
Hey, everybody. We're back on Lady to Lady. I'm Babs.
I'm Brandy.
I'm Tess.
I'm Emily.
And it's time for Lady Problems. You know the deal. Send us one, 323-6-BUT-30. You can call us there or email us, ladytoladycomedy@gmail.com.
Lady problems, do you have them? Lady problems, do you have them? People have them.
Hi, ladies. So here's my problem. My niece, who is 20 years old, just had a baby, joined an MLM, and I privately expressed my concerns to her how it's predatory. They target women. They target minorities. This is the Midwest, though, so MLMs are just rampant in this area. My lady problem is, now that I've, you know, constructively voiced my concerns to her, how do I support her? Like, I don't want to contribute to this MLM by purchasing products for her, but I don't know. I feel like I'm being pressured to do that, like, indirectly, because I'm her aunt and I want to support her and her business. And, yeah, so I guess, how do I support her without directly purchasing products from her MLM? Thanks, ladies.
Man, I really wish I knew which one it was.
I know. Have you guys ever gotten pulled in, or almost, or what are your experiences with MLMs?
I mean, I've definitely had people pitch me stuff and like, you know.
Of course. I've had people that I like as people try to sell me stuff from their MLMs. Yeah.
I don't think I've ever done any, but like, I think my parents have, like, when I was a kid. And then, yeah, I'm like, I'm obsessed with them. Like, I, I do have, I think, family members who have, like, sold them and stuff. And it's so hard to, like, it's so hard to talk people out of doing it, because they just arm you with so many, like, so many talking points. One thing that I will say is that, like, if you look at the statistics for, like, how many people make money on an MLM, the statistics are much higher for, like, cis women who can orgasm without any clitoral stimulation. And I think that's a damning statistic.
Damn, Mary Kay, didn't know you had it in you.
Wow. Wait, is that true?
You're more likely to come from someone just sticking it in than you are to make money off an MLM.
Okay. Yeah, yeah.
Damn.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. I mean, I think, like, how do you...
I mean, if you want to support your niece, help her figure out a different way to make money freelancing.
Yeah.
I mean...
Yeah. Because it's not going to...
Yeah, God. No, I've been there. I have had, like, a couple people that I do, like, love as people, and they have... And I have felt the same shittiness, because that's, like, what these programs arm everybody who gets involved with, is ways to make their loved ones feel guilty for not getting dragged
in. Yeah, that's the whole point. You exhaust your whole network.
Yeah.
I will say, I think that, like, a good thing you can do to support her, because I think a big part of how people get trapped in these MLMs is that they are afraid of the bridges they've already burnt. They don't want to admit that they have been scammed, or that they leverage their personal relationships with people for something that was not above board. Once they realize what was happening, none of them talk about their experience. They feel too ashamed of what they've done in order to, like, come clean or get out. I think you could just say, whenever you decide to leave – I am not going to judge you for this. Like, you will have my support no matter what, no matter how long you stay in, no matter how many other people you try and recruit. Like, I will never join. I will never buy the products. But, like, I will always be there for you when you're done with this.
That's good. Yeah. It's like the exact same thing you should say to someone who needs to call off their wedding.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. It's like that cult.
This is going to fail, and just know that when it does, I'll be there.
Yes.
It'll be fine.
Embarrassment is not a reason to keep doing it.
Yeah. Yes. Do not worry about looking like a failure in front of me.
Yeah. That's a great call. I mean, I think it's maybe worth asking her, like, what does she like about this? Like, is it like, does she like sales? Is that the part that she likes? Is it the product? Is it like the creative? Like, what? Because there's other jobs that, like, you can use the parts that she enjoys about it with. I'm assuming MLM is usually because, like, you can't get a full-time job, but it's like...
Yeah, I think that the flexibility of it is what they peddle as being the most advantageous.
That's how they're able to prey on women is because, I don't know if you guys have heard, but there's, like, a child care crisis in our country. And
Right.
Yeah.
So, yes. your niece probably, and I don't know if she has a kid or what her situation is, but I think most people who get into MLMs are in a situation where, like, they do want or need additional income and, yeah, need something that's totally flexible, which, oh, no, I mean, there's a lot of stuff you can do from your laptop anywhere.
Yeah.
That doesn't require roping in your family and friends.
I guess it's just like, let's admit it, MLMs exist because job hunting sucks and interviewing for jobs sucks. That's where they come from. It's just like, I'd rather do this than interact with another human being and pretend I want this job.
Well, and like, you get to be like, I'm a little business owner. Like, that's like what we're told is like the American dream is to like be the top of your, you know, it's like we're the whole thing is set up as like a pyramid, you know?
Yeah.
So,
Have you seen, God, what is it called? It's like, there's this like Netflix reality show about this like financial advisor guy.
The one about Bernie Madoff?
No, it's like one of those shows where it's like he goes around and he like meets with people and helps them solve their money problems. Oh. Or it's like,
I haven't seen that. How to get rich? It's something
like that. But there's an episode where he basically talks a woman out of being in an MLM.
Oh.
And he does it very gently and diplomatically and like successfully. He like sits down with her and goes over the numbers and like talks about the reality of the business. And the episode ends with her not doing it anymore.
Send your niece that or watch it with her.
Yeah. Just talk through the numbers with her. Like, okay, how many sales are you going to have to hit in order to make money? What's going to happen after you already go to like Aunt Sue and mom and grandma and exhaust those people? Like, what's the plan after that?
Yeah.
And what do you think you might make if you were working at a job with a salary and with benefits?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It is How to Get Rich. That's a show.
Yeah. Oh,
okay, cool.
I think like I'm really fascinated by like scammers, you know, and especially like romance scammers. And there's it's wild. And there's a Reddit, you know, of course, for everything, but almost all also romance scams. And people will like bring their loved ones to this Reddit to be like, look, like this is happening to other people all the time. Like Bruce Springsteen is not DMing you from his secret Instagram account. Trust me. It's not real. And so like I do think it's important for people to see other people experiences. Yes. So I would maybe do a little bit of research about this and see if there's any, because most of these MLMs have people who are not in them anymore and who will tell everyone why they're not good. So I would maybe do a little bit of research and see if there's anything like that and I know it's hard because you're trying to support your niece and not necessarily just bring negative energy to her, but I think trying to give her information in a friendly way is good too.
It's okay to be negative when something's negative.
Yeah, it's
right,
better.
But she might shut down and not listen, you know. And
but I will say really it's like MLM succeed because of good qualities of the people who get suckered in. It's they prey on their hope and they prey on their positive community relationships.
Yep.
And those are things you don't want to discourage. And I think there's a way. There is a very active anti-MLM subreddit. And you could go in there and say, like, has anyone had any success? Is it good advice to say ask someone else for advice?
Oh, yeah, totally.
I think people knowing they're not alone is, like, such an important way yeah. to, you know, kind of see through certain things. So
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I will say this. Yeah. I'll punctuate this all with this. There was this one face moisturizer that I was using for a while that you could only get from an MLM.
Oh.
You know?
I mean, some of them do sell real products.
Yeah, they the products can be good. It's not like I was buying random Mary Kay shit for a while after going to one of those things.
Yeah,
so, it's just like the inherent predatory.
Yeah, so the products can be good sometimes.
That's what makes it confusing. It took me a while to figure out the math of like, okay, but what's wrong? If the product, like, what's the difference between me just buying this and buying it from Sephora if it's a product I like?
Right.
Yeah.
But
I think there's nothing inherently like wrong about buying it from an MLM. It's that those companies just shouldn't really exist. It's like, because it's already been bought by the time you buy it. Like, it was bought by the person who's selling it to you.
Right. Yeah. That's what it is. Yeah. You're not actually supporting that. It's like, you're not actually paying into that economy. It's like that money's going up to the person at the top who's always going to be getting all of the money.
Yeah. But you might be like prolonging their stay in the company.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And it's like, hey, companies, how about you like have some confidence in yourself and just take it directly to the people?
Right.
Why do you need all these in-betweens?
Just be a company. You know, everyone else just opens up a store and sells shit.
Yeah. Take some risk, okay?
Yeah.
Yeah. How about you be a shuttered a storefront eventually?
All right. Do we have another one?
Yes.
Hey, this is Audrey. I'm calling from Amsterdam. And I could use your help, ladies. Well, first of all, I'm a, you know, big fan of the podcast. And it's my number one go-to, you know, hangout podcast. You guys keep me happy and, you know, entertained. We just adopted a cat, which I'm very excited about. And interestingly, there's not a lot of strays in the Netherlands. So he flew in from Greece, and he's here now. The problem is, coming to his 7 and 10 years old, have really stupid, and I don't want a cat to have a stupid name for, you know, his whole lifetime. And my husband says, whatever the boys want, you know, he supports. And not only do my boys have stupid ideas for names, but they change their minds constantly. And one might be on board a little while with a name that I have, but then, you know, we can't draw consensus. So what do I do? Do I, you know, agree to a name like Cheeseburger or, you know, Panda when he is a gray striped cat that looks nothing like a panda? Or, you know, how do I get a name that I can live with and be happy? What is the solution? Last night we tried a whole thing where we had tons of names in a hat and we had to choose between two and did multiple rounds. And in the end, we just had everybody had a name that they liked in there and, you know, didn't like any of the other names. So it was just not successful. We could not reach consensus. Help. Okay. Thanks. Bye.
Isn't the point of the hat that you don't need a consensus?
Yeah.
Yeah. You're giving up consensus.
Yeah.
I
mean, up until that last part, my suggestion was going to be put the names in a hat, rig it so that you pick the normal name.
Yeah.
That was my idea too. Rig the bucket.
Yeah.
Only
rig the bucket.
The name you want in there.
Yeah.
We've all run open mics. We know how to rig a bucket.
It's funny. It is. I guess I've never really heard of someone like being scared that their kids are going to pick too stupid of a name.
They will,
I
feel though.
But also it's like, does it matter them? I don't know. Like, yeah,
I mean, a lot of, you don't have to like go call a cat in public.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. Like, Cheeseburger over here. Yeah. It's just like, yeah.
And also like, I don't know. We don't call our cat Cindy. We just call her girl or girly. And like, you know, a lot of times the pet, you can call
the true name
official.
Emerges, right?
Yeah. Like that's what I think, really. It's,
I almost never call Buddy Buddy. He's like Bubbos Magoobos, Boo-Boos. Like, it's very, it's like, you kind of just like have a starter name. And then almost like a series of Picasso paintings, it will just become more and more abstract.
Yes.
Like, Cheeseburger could become Bergie, cute name.
Yeah.
You know, like, you never know.
Yeah, exactly. There's lots of things. Also, like, I like an animal with a dumb name, personally. They made me laugh.
I think that, like, the thing about a pet name, too, is it's kind of like a band name. Like, most band names sound really stupid, but then you just get used to them and you don't think about it anymore.
Totally.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, whatever it is like you're just gonna get used to it, and it's a member of your family. So
yeah.
Even though I think it's like it can be a fun family thing, I think, to be like, what do we name the cat? And like, I get it that everyone wants to be a part of it, and maybe that's hard with kids who are trying to like both have a say, you know. But yeah. I think that like in the end, just it's like whatever it is gonna be fine, and you're gonna be have fun with, you know, your pet.
Sounds like you need another cat.
And it's also
like a cat house.
I think she's the only woman living in the house, which really solidifies my position that she gets to name the cat.
She didn't say like her husband was like, oh, whatever the boys pick, which is like, all right, yeah. Well, no, it should be what she wants.
You're surrounded by boys. I think you get to name the pussy.
Can you pretend like you got a letter from the cat's mom saying that the cat already has a name?
Oh, that's unhinged. I like
it. Oh, that's incredible. You have to sign it with a paw print.
Yeah.
I think you need to say, I mean, unfortunately you didn't include a photo, because I think we officially should name this cat, actually.
Yes. Yeah.
And we will send you a letter as the cat's mom saying what the cat's name is.
Yeah. Like a cabbage patch.
Send it all the way to the Netherlands.
Maybe whoever wins the Jeopardy Tournament of Champions this year. Maybe that's the name.
Just name it after that person.
Yeah.
Cindy's here. Do you have any thoughts? No, she doesn't have shit to say. I think like don't think too hard about it, but also you're in control and it is your choice at the end of the day. So do a bucket again, rig it, only have one name in there, the one that you want. Or I do think the name will come. Just say, you know what, we don't need to choose one right now, and it will, like, you'll figure it out eventually. You'll figure out what the cat's name is, like, over some time.
Yeah. I mean, my cat growing up was named Mal because my parents let me name her when I was like 3.
Mal?
No.
Chairman Mal.
Maybe what you should do is say, like, take the name that you want the cat to have and say, we're just going to do this temporarily while we get to know the cat. And then after we get to know the cat for a while, then we'll change the name and then be like, oh my gosh, they wouldn't let me change the name.
Yeah.
Then you'll just be used to it being that name. That's a good idea.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't mind. I also like Panda's not bad. You know, Panda's like not that crazy. Panda's cute.
It's kind of crazy for a gray cat.
But like, it's funny too.
It is funny. The stupider it is, the funnier it is. I'll tell you this, because I help out with social media at the shelter, and I'll never forget one time I named a cat Share on Instagram, and that cat got adopted in an hour.
Genius. Damn.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's all it takes.
That's all it takes is a good name. Get a cat out.
Let us know. I really want to know what this cat ends up being called.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Emily, this has been so fun.
Oh my gosh. Thank you so much for having me. I love your show. I'm so happy to be here.
Number one returning guest. Come back in 3 years.
Yes.
Yes. When I've started a new podcast about some other show that weirdly doesn't have a podcast.
So yeah, if you're listening to this now, that means that what is a Jeopardy podcast? Wait, what is it officially?
What is a Jeopardy podcast?
I got my ellipses in the wrong place. What is a Jeopardy podcast is out now. So go subscribe, listen to it. I'm excited to check in and see all the chaos happening on.
Yes,
on you got us
Jeopardy
pumped.
Now. You've got us involved.
Very exciting.
Where can everybody follow you elsewhere?
I'm at Mr. Emily Heller on all of the things.
Follow Emily on all of the things. And yeah, thank you so much. It was great to hang out with you.
Bye, guys.
Talk to you guys next week. Bye.
Bye, guys.
3, 2, 3, 6 but 30.
It's 6 but 30 somewhere.
Hi, ladies. I love you so much. And I just wanted to call in about the teacher in training who's kind of questioning the teaching profession. I am a 20-year veteran of high school, public school, social studies. I teach sociology and anthropology, and I am still in love with my career. Yes, there's issues. You know, I'm stressed and the pay is not great and the benefits really suck, but I can't tell you, every 3 to 6 months I get an email from a former student of mine telling me just how impactful it was to have a social studies teacher that taught them how to look at the news, how to talk to people and not debate but learn from each other and really be informed. And they are just so incredibly grateful that I was their teacher, and it just warms my heart every time and keeps me going back to my classroom. And I love it, and I just love the emotion around teaching and the support for teachers. So thank you, ladies and girls. You're going to be the best teacher. Love you all. Bye.
Okay, I had to look up what the Trader Joe's bells are, because I'm from Canada and we don't have Trader Joe's, which means we're all like exceptionally obsessed with Trader Joe's. Like we cross the border to go there and get groceries. And it's just such a cute little grocery store. But anyway, I looked up what the bells are, and it's their communication system so that they don't have to have a gross PA system. So one bell lets the crew know when to open another register. Two bells means additional questions that need to be answered. Three bells calls over a manager person, and three short bells, two long bells, three short bells. Now we're just playing. They're such jokers. What a gorgeous, gorgeous place to buy your groceries. Love you guys. Bye.
Lady to Lady is produced by Katie Levine. Get tons of bonus content, discounted tickets for live shows, and lots more at patreon.com/ladytolady.
Follow us on Instagram at @lady2ladycomedy. And give your input on lady problems and get info about upcoming live shows.
And hey, don't forget to follow our individual accounts on Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok @BabsGray, Brandazzle, and Testify Barker.